We begin in Chapel Hill, where the local chapter of the League of Women Voters held a vigil on Friday to recognize the second anniversary of the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there. He filed this report.
As the sun set and a chill began to set in for the night, a few dozen people gathered at the corner of Franklin Street and Columbia Street in downtown Chapel Hill. Some people held plastic candles, others wore glow sticks, and a handful held signs remembering those who protected the transfer of power on January 6, 2021, as Congress certified the results of the 2020 presidential election. Among those preparing for the brief march with the group down Franklin Street were Amy Giroliman and Jerry Richards. The two community members were there as part of the National Organization of Women and shared how often they thought of the insurrection 2 years ago. Giroliman said,
"I think about it more than I would like to because it's such a disturbing event, and when I see any of the video from it, it just horrifies me, the amount of violence that people committed that day. But my feelings about it have changed. I think I understand it a lot more because I've listened and watched the January 6th committee, the House committee."
Those hearings, which resulted in a lengthy final report detailing minute by minute how the event unfolded, were a major difference between the same vigil organized by the local League of Women Voters last January. The committee's hearings and public releases of information helped provide more insight into a historic attempt to change the results of an election and alter the democratic process. Richards said between the hearings and her personal research, she empathizes more now with those who participated in the insurrection, describing them as feeling lost. But she added that it does not, quote, excuse the way they showed their anger, and makes it so she thinks about what happened on January 6th nearly every day.
Of all the things that have happened in my life that are historical, next to 9/11, this is, I think, the most shocking and frightening and motivating thing that I've seen.
The two women, as well as others who gathered Friday night, said they felt compelled to demonstrate because of their support for democracy and voting rights. After its brief march, the group gathered in University United Methodist Church for a discussion of those very topics. Dr. Jennifer Bremer, the redistricting lead for the local league chapter, helped moderate that talk. The Chapel Hill resident also worked as a professor studying international development and examining how countries create their leadership structures. Bremer told 97.9 The Hill she believes January 6th could represent a marker in the history of the United States for reckoning with extremism.
There are any number of things that you can point to in American history where there was political violence, not an invasion of the Capitol, but nonetheless political violence. So it is something that we have to take as a sign that we have to work harder to fix these problems and to bring people together.
The discussion included several local elected officials, State Representatives Alan Buoyancy and Renee Price, who spoke in person, and Congresswoman Valerie Fouché and State Senator Greg Meyer, who shared video messages with the group. Buoyancy and Price each shared their recollection of the afternoon of the Capitol insurrection and their beliefs on protecting democracy, improving voting rights, and engaging with those who feel underserved by their government. Afterward, Buoyancy shared his impression of seeing people in his hometown taking time to remember and address an event that took place 2 years ago and hundreds of miles away.
Well, it just shows that people care. You know, as we were saying during the event, as soon as people stop caring, as soon as people stop talking, that's when things, we're really in trouble. It's heartening to see, you know, this crowd in here. We had some young people in here. We, you know, had a lot of folks who were more seasoned in here. I mean, that's critical to sustaining democracy, is to have people caring, speaking out, and being vigilant.
The sentiment echoed what Giroliman said earlier in the evening along Franklin Street, that one of her biggest lessons in recent years is the importance of paying close attention to those in charge.
There's so much of our government and our democracy that's gentlemen or womanly agreements. It's not law. Things I thought were commonplace, like the president releasing their taxes. Apparently there's no law about that. But even when there are laws where the IRS should be auditing the president and the vice president, it's not happening. So if you're not paying attention, then I think our democracy could slip away.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Now we head to Hillsboro, where Town Commissioner Matt Hughes issued a public apology over the weekend after being arrested for DWI in Chapel Hill early Thursday morning. In his statement, Hughes said, quote, "I am sorry and extremely remorseful. I have learned a valuable lesson and will repay my debt to the community." Hughes has a court appearance set for this Thursday. Over to campus, where a UNC professor just got a high national honor, Tressie McMillan Cottom has been named by Education Week magazine as the number 26 education scholar in the nation in terms of public influence that's moving ideas from academia into public discourse and government policy. Cottom is an associate professor at UNC School of Information and Library Science. We're heading further into January, and the start of the new year also means Orange County Living Wage has updated its calculation for what constitutes a living wage in our community. Based on the current cost of living, the organization says a living wage in Orange County is now $16.60 an hour, or $15.10 plus benefits. That's up 75 cents an hour from 2022. And as we celebrate the changing calendar, we've also been asking local leaders about their New Year's resolutions for their respective communities. In Hillsboro, the town is looking ahead to several major transportation projects for 2023. Here's Hillsboro Mayor Jen Weaver on that.
For us, we're keeping our eye on a handful of really important items. One of those being our continued work on figuring out our limited wastewater capacity and how we are working to do the upgrades and repairs that we need to so that we continue to take good care of that asset. We also have invested in a couple of feasibility studies that have to do with some important long-term planning to make Hillsboro more bike and pedestrian friendly along South Churton Street, plus the multi-use path feasibility study that's north-south, you know, that would be separated from any main roads. And then ongoing with the train station, this is just going to be a really big project, thinking about not just the station, but the surrounding acreage and what we want that to look like. So one foot in front of the other on all of those items.
That's Hillsboro Mayor Jen Weaver speaking there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Inside Carolina. Great weekend to be a Tar Heel basketball fan. Both the men and women came away with very important wins, both over Notre Dame. Especially big win for the women as the Fighting Irish came into yesterday's game ranked fourth in the nation, but they were no match for the Tar Heels defensively, especially. Notre Dame, a high-scoring team, but none of that last night. Paulina Paris dropped 11 points in the fourth quarter alone as UNC pulled away for a 60-50 upset win, second victory this season over a top five opponent. Paris finished with 16 overall, a season high. That led the way. Deja Kelly added 14 as UNC snapped a four-game losing streak and got its first ACC win in a very impressive way. After the game, head coach Courtney Banghart.
This is not just a win. It's a top five win. It's the second of the year. And you know, they earned it. They earned it by playing really well on both ends. We didn't shoot the ball so well, but we found ways to win because it was them saying, we're going to find a way, and our crowd being what we needed them to be tonight.
Tar Heels will look to build on their momentum later this week. They're back on the road Thursday, taking on Virginia. Also a nice win on Saturday for Carolina men's basketball, 81-64 over Notre Dame. Pete Nance was out again with a stiff back, but Armando Baycott led the way with 21 points and 13 boards. Caleb Love added 18. Puff Johnson came off the bench with a season-high 11. Tar Heels have now won two in a row and six of their last seven since that four-game losing streak earlier in the season. Head coach Hubert Davis on how his team has been able to come back.
One of the things that I love about our guys is that we always get back up. And it's something that I talk to them about a lot, that in basketball this year with this team and in life, you're going to get knocked down. And you're going to have rainy days and speed bumps and potholes, and you can whine and complain and make excuses and point fingers and stay down, or you can get back up and continue to compete, continue to fight, and continue to get better. And this team always has responded in that way. And so I would take it even further, you know, not just a response from the Pitt game. I would take it even further from the four games that we lost, and now we've won six out of seven. And so does that mean to stop? No. But that's a sign of a tough team, a resilient team, And that's the type of team that I love being associated and being around.
That's head coach Hubert Davis there. Carolina's back in action tomorrow night at 9, also on the road at Virginia. Davis says he's hopeful Pete Nance will be able to play in that one. No guarantees yet, though. Elsewhere in Tar Heel sports, UNC wrestling fell to Penn on Saturday in their first dual meet of the year. UNC gymnastics took third out of four teams at the Super 16 meet in Las Vegas. They're back home tonight, hosting NC State at 6. And in golf, a big weekend for Tar Heel sophomore David Ford. He won the Jones Cup Invitational in Georgia over the weekend. That's one of the top amateur tournaments in the world. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes lost in a shootout to Columbus on Saturday, 4-3. Still got a point for sending it to overtime. Canes are back home tomorrow night, hosting the Devils at 7. And finally, big congrats to former Tar Heel football star Sam Howell. He made his first NFL start at quarterback yesterday and led the Washington Commanders to a 26-6 win over Dallas. Howell threw for 169 yards and one TD and ran for a touchdown as well.